Hey, 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 conscious leaders, a warm welcome to yet another episode. Here with today, you're getting a special edition to another webinar replay where we have a conversation with Dr. Melanie van Rooy talking about authentic leadership. Fascinating, inspiring. Please hang around and listen to this one. I promise you, you won't be disappointed.
Drum roll. My favorite human being. First of all, we have to hold our fingers together because Dr. Melanie van Rooy has been shortlisted for a prestigious award, and she's going to know this evening what the result is. But just being a finalist amongst her peers is incredible. It is for the Marketing Achievement Awards, so we will know this evening. So check out and see if there's any updates from it. Trust me, I will do the same. And so how this conversation came about, Dr. Melanie van Rooy, she's a force of nature. She heads up marketing for the Clicks, and she's very much into collaboration and having co-fund with her consumers. And we had this podcast interview, and I said to her, oh my gosh, this is so insane. And we had the best interview ever. It was just flowing. And then when we stopped recording, this other big conversation happened around authentic leadership. And I don't know why we just didn't continue recording, because it could have been so amazing. So I said to Dr. Melanie van Rooy, oh, please can I bring you into the Conscious Leaders webinar that we can actually just enjoy you and you can talk to us and just hang on your lips. Furthermore, your background, you're a unicorn. You like analytical data at the same time, the creative spin and your understanding of everything is insane. And I think bringing that analytical brain can sometimes be intimidating for a person like you to come in, but you're so gentle and you're so humble. And I don't think I've met you in any room where you're not the same person. And I think that for me is so beautiful. And when we posted that we're doing this webinar, the comments that we were seeing and people that remember you from the heyday and people so excited to be here is just testament to the fact how incredible you are as a leader. And I hope that today we all can learn something from you. So Melanie, over to you.
Thank you so much, Carmen. And it's just such a pleasure. You know, I remember the first time I met Carmen and I thought, my God, this woman is dynamic. All over the place, just fabulous. So, yes, I mean, Carmen, my leadership journey has been nothing but amazing, right? I feel extremely blessed to be where I am. And I've been privy to work from anything from academia to owning my own businesses to working for my son, can you believe it, giving me some pocket money in between two retailers, and then spending the majority of my career in FMCG and then later where my real passion lies, and that is in retail. And female leadership is something that is extremely close to my heart. And really the reason for that is because I have seen how wrong we can get it as female leaders and how female leaders oscillate between different models of leadership. And I say to Carmen, the day I retire, I want to spend the rest of my life traveling around the world talking to females about just, can you just be yourself? Can you just stop trying to be who you are not and stress yourself to this to try and fit into this mold that you think the world or yourself or your mom or your partner has put on you, and just be your own beautiful, authentic self. I often do this talk where the topic of my talk is why I wear lipstick to the boardroom. And it's all about how I bring my femininity and just Mel, you know, to the room. And I want to talk through a couple of principles and give you some examples of what I've seen in my career and what authentic leadership really means to me as a corporate leader. I've got a team of 220 people under me, but I also serve on a board which is quite diverse, in a company that is quite diverse. And I always say, when people ask me, Mel, who are you? I call myself a gladiator. I don't know those of you that watched the TV series Scandal with Olivia Pope. I loved that series. And she always spoke about being a gladiator. And I made that term my own, because if you look at my avatar is a gladiator. It's a woman with long hair, with makeup on, but can really, and that's really, really strong. And I live according to these principles, right? Where the G for me really starts with grace and being gracious. And to me, that's really about how I show up in terms of kindness, around having gratitude in all situations, but also having grace for those that are in my life. So that's the G for gladiator. I'm also a lion heart, right? I'm super courageous, super bold. I tread where others fear to tread. But I'm a lion in the face of challenges. I'm a lioness when it comes to my children. I'm a lioness when it comes to my staff. But that brave-heartedness lies in that L. The A for me is what we're talking about today, is being my own authentic self, to embrace who I am with flaws and all, right? Who I am, what I bring to the party, what I need, and what I have to learn. The D, I'm extremely determined. Guys, I think when you're an authentic leader, you need to absolutely have that, you know, that sense of unwavered determination and focus. Because running a multifaceted, I always say to people, the team that I run, imagine this, has everything from a heister driver that literally takes the pricing tickets that gets cut in the basement of our building and puts them on a truck, right? That reports to me, right up to a super smart data science team that just crunches out the most amazing insights. And to really be focused on that, that takes a lot of determination. The I for me is around being inspiring. I'm a huge proponent of inspirational leadership. And the book by Daniel Goleman that talks about emotional intelligence and inspiring leadership has been my go-to place always. If you're not inspiring, if you're not motivating, and you're not uplifting people around you, then you've missed it. And it's not just your words, it's also your actions. And it's something that I try. I always say, I don't have a Milani persona at work and a Milani persona at home. I am what I am. When I drive home, I de-stress and I climb out of the director's shoes. But who I am as a leader shows up everywhere. The other A in gladiator for me is being adaptable. Because quite frankly, guys, I mean, you imagine the last 4 years that we've been through, right? It was COVID. It was working from home. It was not able to color your hair. It was meetings on Zoom and on Teams. I mean, if you are not adaptable, I remember old Tani Evita always saying adapt or die, but really you need to be adaptable, flexible, and resilient in all things that life throw you. Because I recently went through quite a personal loss, and it threw me. I'll be honest with you, it really threw me. And then to keep on shining, then to keep on being who you are and who you say you are, is difficult, and hence that ability to be adaptable, to take the learning and to move on. The T for me is about being tenacious. Dog with a bone. I mean, I pursue my dreams with utmost passion. I am persistent. I don't stop, right? And then I think that tenacity, especially in a company that I work for, I mean, we're probably in this workforce, we are probably 75% board that I serve on the executive committee that I serve, half of that are females, and that's amazing. But you have to be super tenacious. Talk about how that tenacity can also become something really hard. The O is to be open-minded, guys. You know, I'm going on 59 this year. I still can't imagine that I am, and I'm owning it. So you have to be extremely open-minded in terms of new trends, new ways of working, new models of leadership, and be able to adapt to that. I mean, if you are not open to embrace new ideas, and new perspectives with your heart and with your mind, you cannot lead, because then you get stuck in a rut, and then you become that leader that shall not be moved. And I think the crux there for me is to understand when do you need to be open-minded, and when do you say, no, guys, we're sticking to our guns. This is the road that I'm on, and this is where I am. And that's where you have that clarity of goal. And then lastly, the R is resilience. Resilience to me is just, you know, that ability to bounce back, to be able to take life's punches and to move beyond that. So that's really what I, you know, my gladiator stands for. And often when I get faced with a situation, whether it be in a personal space or in a workspace, I run through those and I make sure that I still tick my own boxes and that I remain true to that. Because if you think about authentic leadership, guys, I mean, really, it's about being self-aware, being able to say, look, where am I at, to be transparent about what I feel without, I mean, transparency and vulnerability for me are, I mean, there's another author that I follow very closely, a guy called Patrick Lencioni, that talks about the five dysfunctions of a team. And the core of what he says is there can be no trust if there is no vulnerability. And, you know, often female leaders think when I talk vulnerability that I'm talking about crying and pouring out your heart to everybody. That's not what I'm saying. Can I cry? Yeah, I can. Do I cry at work? No, I don't cry at work. I have cried in the bathroom. That I'll tell you a couple of times. But then I put on my makeup, put on the lipstick, and I walk out and I'm fine again. But vulnerability is to be able to just admit to those areas in your life where you're also not that strong, where you're also not that resilient. And I've often found with my team, when I'm going through a really difficult time, to bring them into the fold and say, guys, this is what I'm going through. If you see me being choppy or I'm just not myself, just check in with me, bring me a cup of tea and help me with that. And I think that's amazing. And that leads to just genuine relationships, because, you know, as you climb this corporate ladder, it becomes quite lonely. And I'll explain with some examples later. And that's where you need the genuine relationships in your life. It's also about being consistent, guys. You know, when you lead a team the size of the team that I lead, my yes must be my yes. My no must be my no. I need to treat people equal. There are no favorites. You know, I can't be friends with my staff. I don't have braais at their house, as an example, because when I need to be tough, I need to be tough and not worry about how's the kayer going to be on Saturday night. You hear what I'm saying? And it's also to be authentic is to be able to say, look, I'm empowering people around me. I'm not trying to be the you know, the end all and be all. It's to say, you know what, let me give an example. Do I look like the face of Clicks to you? No, I'm an older white woman. To me, the face of Clicks, if I look at our customer base, is a young, vibrant, spunky, colored woman or a black woman. And I have a brand executive, her name is Patiswa. She's absolutely amazing. And whenever we have public events, I empower her to get on with it, because I want her to be the face. Now, many a leader will go, oh, hell no, she's going to take my shine. What if people think, you know, I'm not doing my job? And that, I think, is where you are authentic to yourself. And where I say to myself, no, what is good for the company is actually when customers see Patiswa, because they can relate to her in a way they will not be able to relate to me, and not being threatened by it at all. So for me as a senior executive, I mean, it really is then navigating the gender dynamics, because gender dynamics will always be there. I'm very fortunate to work in a company where it's actually very much of a muchness, and breaking down stereotypes. To me, that is a huge role that I feel I have to fulfill. Guys, I had a boss. I love him to bits to this day. But I remember one day I was in his office and he said, you know, Mel, you know how I feel about Afrikaans people, you know? He says, they're very bright, but they're very stupid. Now, how do you respond to me? In fact, he said, they are the most clever, stupid people that I know. How's that for a stereotype, right? And I had, you know, that's where you run through your gladiator checklist. And I went, you know, part of me just wanted to tell him exactly what I thought. But another part of me went, okay, this is my opportunity to start breaking down stereotypes. And we actually, over the couple of months following that, unpacked that without him even realizing, because that's where femininity and that female gut that we have, I helped him unpack this without him even realizing it. And I understood where this came from. But that's really part of my leadership role. It's also creating, you know, opportunity for other females to succeed, opening doors, and mentoring. Mentoring is a huge part of what I do because I'm so unbelievably passionate about cultivating female leaders that are there and appointed on skill and what we can offer, not because you had to tick box some transformation tick box. Because it is about being true to oneself, not just it's regardless of gender and just inspiring others to be the same. So for me, bringing that femininity, guys, is super important. I want to give you some examples because I think that will explain how I was formed throughout my career. And I've been super blessed to work for and work with amazing females. I have also been traumatized to a level which I cannot explain to you by female bosses and female peers, right? So I've seen both sides of the story. So let me give you some examples of some of the bosses that I had. I'll call the first one the man eater, right? And let me tell you, you're going to see that all these women that I speak about have the same traits. They are super bright. They are super tenacious, super resilient. I mean, that goes without saying. So the man-eater boss that I had was super bright. She was one of the first females in South Africa to have a PhD in econometrics, which was huge at the time. She only wore suits. She had suits made with a skirt, obviously with a skirt, but like a man would have a black suit and a blue suit and a brown suit and a whatever suit. She had these suits made and she wore on Monday, she wore her black suit and on Tuesdays and to meetings she will wear this and she had the same blouses and the same, never wore a drop of makeup, had a very boyish cut hair. And when I questioned her on this one day, she said to me, Mel, you know what? You must be equal to men. You must look like them. You must talk like them. And you must give them chas, right? No lipstick. They're not going to take you serious. You're going to look like a secretary. And I thought she was the most brilliant person I had met at the time. And I was young, guys. I was like 22. So I could very easily have chosen that route. But I didn't. So what I took from her was this unbelievable resilience, the way that she could stand up and be heard and be seen without being a bitch or anything. She was just strong. She taught me how to be tough. She also taught me how to swear, which is a pity. My mom still lambastes me to this day. But that gave me that toughness, right? I also worked for an empath boss, right? Quite a young head of an academic department that went through quite a big personal event in her life in that she couldn't fall pregnant. And after many, many failed in vitro attempts, she adopted. So it was very hard for her to navigate life and running this big department and a personal crisis. She was beautiful. She dressed well. She was soft-spoken, but strong, right? And very empathetic. And I found that what I took from that was I can have a work life and a home life and I can come to work and be vulnerable and say, today I am sad because my IV treatment did not work. I am not going to be myself for the next week. And I learned a lot from her. I mean, I still have contact with her to this day. Then I worked for one whom I shall call, and when I prepared, I had many acronyms and then I thought, no, this is a decent forum, Carmen. Let me just call her the deceiving one, right? I'll tell you, unbelievably successful, right? Super bright, but could not care less about other people. Self-absorbed, very mean, very underhanded. She clearly did not like working with another strong female. And she was actually quite threatened. She did not want to relinquish anything. She basically rejected anybody that did not agree with her. She would send me mails and WhatsApp at 3 o'clock in the morning and expect me to have an answer the next morning when business opened. You know, I got to a point where I would wake up at night and I would go, because it felt as if an elephant was, you know, sitting on my chest. It tore into my self-confidence, into my belief. And it was not direct. It was always as if she used someone else to get the message through, to deliver. You know, once she said to somebody, oh, Mel is way too elegant. And I thought, okay, to me that sounds like a nice thing, not a bad thing, right? I'm too corporate. And basically, I asked myself a long time after that, what did I learn? Because this was not just a lack of EQ. This was just corporate bullying. And I walked away from that quite scarred, guys. And it took me quite a while to actually get back to my authentic self and who I really, and to get back to Mal. You are a gladiator. You are not what this person implies that you are. And you know, guys, a lot of times as a leader, you learn things that you want to learn, but you also learn how not to be. And from this specific leader, I took away her unbelievable knowledge of her area. I learned a lot in terms of that, but I also learned how not to be and how not to treat people and how I do not want to show up. The last type of person I want to speak about is the ice princess, right? Lots of experience, very poised, very eloquent, but just no empathy, right? Usually surrounds themselves with more males than females because they don't like change, right? And almost fights a very elegant chilly war, like a silent bullying, very elegant. and to me, you know, also in this specific person that I had in my career, I learned a hell of a lot. She was amazing in terms of commercial acumen, which I thought was brilliant. I took from that, and what I did take from her was always very well groomed, always very elegant, right? And then I had a couple of really interesting ones working for me and with me, right? So not bosses, the bully, always there, using a raised voice and superiority. They usually bully co-workers and below, right? They're snarky, sarcastic, and usually when you give them a good punch on the nose, figuratively speaking, they back off for a moment. And they do a lot of bullying behind the scenes. But they're actually quite scared of authority. And that's the type of female leader that I can't. Guys, I want to weed out female bullies in the boardroom and in corporate and in businesses as much as I can, because it's just ugly and it doesn't do us any favors. Then you get the green ones, right? People that are jealous, right? Jealous of your degrees. Don't come in here and think with your degrees you're going to impress us. They're jealous of your relationship with a boss. They become undermining and horrible. And later in my career, you know, I saw that these people, they go very far. I mean, there was a lady that worked with me many, many moons ago that had this. I was much younger than her at that stage, and she was quite nasty about that. You know, she went very far because she had all the traits: bright, resilient, tenacious, all of that. But she ended up being very lonely. She never had friends in the industry because, you know, people smell it out. Then, of course, guys, and apologies for the word if it offends, but there's the bitch, you know. And I find a lot of times, and as I spoke about being a gladiator, being tenacious and being driven, you must be very careful not to cross that divide, right? Because a bitch can be quite spiteful, backstabbing, they're not trustworthy, and they'll just throw you under the bus very easily. I remember starting at a company, and there was this young female leader. Oh, guys, absolutely top of her class in terms of her knowledge. And I remember meeting her, and you know what she said to me? She said to me, you know, Mal, I like you, but I don't think you're going to last in this company on day one, which was an interesting one. And later I realized what it was about. And I watched her just throw people under the bus, and it was an ugly one. And I'm almost done with the list of ugly ones. Then you get the threatened ones, guys. Oh, my God. They're usually not the best in their field. They're the B-team players, right? And when you come into their environment, they fight dirty. They skinner. Those are the skinner ones, the ones that stand outside in the smoking circle at the coffee shop. And did you hear, you know, a lot of rumor mongering, etc. And they keep that mill running. I found that the threatened ones don't really progress to levels of leadership unless they have a major epiphany somewhere and see the bright light. I don't know. But then you get what I call the sisterhood, guys. And I'm guessing that you guys that are on this leaders road with Carmen and ourselves, I'm guessing you're part of the sisterhood. Those are the ladies in my life who have just cheered me on, who celebrate your success. They also just as bloody bright. They eager to learn from you. They recognize the role models in their life and they go for it. They uplift. They cheer on. They celebrate the successes. I mean, when I was nominated for this thing for tonight, I can't believe how many people that I haven't spoken to for years, but that have just been watching my career, just standing on the sidelines and cheering me on. It has just warmed my heart. And those are the people that I believe that will just go far in life. And then my personal favorite, the protégés. Oh, I've got too many to count. They're my pride and joy. They're the ones that have just been with me from the start, that I have been so privileged to mentor and tutor to my hand, and to see them grow, and to see them growing into these amazing leaders, and to seeing how they can be vulnerable but tough, how they can be kick-ass in a boardroom and being the best mom shouting next to a rugby field. They're stylish. They're feminine, they're elegant, they're confident, they're well-spoken and well-rounded. And it is my wish for myself, really, to just expand that as I go on. I mean, and I want to end off by this and say, for me, the traits that as leaders, whether it be personal leaders or leaders in business, is to actually just embrace the fact that you are a woman. That is how I've been listening to this book by Dr. Mindy Peltz, Fast Like a Girl, right? And she talks about how unbelievably sophisticated and complex our bodies as females are. You know, men only have like one hormone, guys. We've got like 70,000, right? And it cycles in and out, and then you eat this and it does this. Embrace it. That's who we are. We're complex beings, right? We come into a boardroom and we balance the boardroom. We bring a new perspective. Just be your authentic self beyond measure. Be in touch. Be feminine, guys. I have a rule. I carry my lipstick wherever I am. My team knows when I take out that lipstick and I put it on, it's war paint, people. It's war paint. It's coming. Be bright, be experienced, be tough and resilient. And guys, hone your skills on being high on EQ and high on SQ. SQ being social quotient, not just IQ. Because quite frankly, all female leaders are bright, but not all of them are as bright when it comes to EQ and SQ. Mentor upwards, mentor to the side, mentor downwards, and just share like we are doing today. And I'll tell you, it's a wave, it's a tsunami, Carmen, right? Remember we spoke about it. If more of us are just our own authentic selves, right? Can you imagine if this world was run by authentic female leaders? What an amazing place it would be. I come from a family of amazing, strong women. I am teaching my daughter this. She's 32, and I've got a granddaughter. They're twins, actually. I've got a grandson. Also, I love them to bits. But Nina, her dad called me. They live in the U.S., and her dad called me the other night. He said, "Mom, she's just as sassy as you and her mother." And I said, what a hell of a compliment. Thank you so much. So, Carmen, that's sort of my spiel. And I hope that was helpful.
Sorry, I'm on mute. I thought that thing is going to disappear during the pandemic, but clearly it's still a thing. Well, first of all, this was so incredible, and sharing the different type of characters that we find ourselves in, and as they morph in the archetypes, during the stages
of our careers. I think the one thing, Milani, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your stories. I mean, like some of it sounds really hectic as well. But one thing I also just wanted to point out, I think you and I spoke about this when during the podcast. By the way, we're dropping it tomorrow. We thought we'll drop it for you tomorrow.
Oh, great. Awesome.
So amazing. Anyway, we spoke about this whole thing as women that have been showing up as men, and there's also this thing happening where women are feeling, I can't do this anymore. I can't be a man showing up at work. I'm tired of being so resilient all the time. And, you know, you sometimes can see when you're in conference rooms and, you know, when you meet clients, when it's stepping into the boardroom, it's almost a different body posture. Yeah. And everything changes. What is your view on that?
Yeah, I mean, Carmen, I see this happening a lot, you know, where, as you say, the tone of voice changes. You can't believe it's the same person that you met, you know, at a function downstairs in a boardroom. And I think it's part of a lack of authenticity. I think there needs to be unbelievable introspection to say, what do I bring to the table and how can I strengthen that and deliver value that? Because, you know, if you try to be everything for everybody, like, I'll be honest with you, commercials is not my thing. I listen to it, I can do it, I got a distinction in my MBA for it, but I absolutely hate it. So I have made super good friends with our CFO, right? So now when I'm in a meeting, I don't just blab along because I need to feel, oh, you know, I better tick that box and look as if I understand everything on the balance sheet. No, actually, I've made it a point to understand what is applicable to me. But for the rest, I leave it to those powers that be. And I don't try to also be the CFO and also try to be the supply chain director. Because if there's one thing that just gets to me is when a person just can't stop talking and feels that they have to comment on everything in every meeting. Bring what is strength in you. Bring that with and focus on that, and then allow the people around you to strengthen those parts of you that you're not as strong as. And then you don't have that pressure to be who you are not. Because let me tell you, to maintain that facade day in and day out must be so tiring. And what I have found with people that do this, especially females, they take it home. They take it home. They are stressed at home. They start packing on weight around the midriff because the cortisol levels go through the roof, right? And I'm talking of a person very close to me that happened to. And you can see it happening. It physically pulls you down because women, we're not built like that, right? So, yeah, to me, that is something that I think, and that is something that when I see it with my mentors, the people that I mentor, my proteges, and I see it in my, I call it time out, right? And I would have a cup of, I call it tea with Mel. If I invite you for tea with Mel, then you know I'm going to chat to you about something. And I call them out and say, remember that meeting? You know what? You're putting too much stress on yourself. Pipe down, or rather go and work on this, or look at that, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it's a difficult one.
You know, I want to share something with you. So a few weeks ago, so I decided here at Conscious Leaders, we're also going to embrace our feminine side. We have to be in balance, our divine feminist, the goddess energy. And I thought, well, I'm going to do networking events differently because I love creativity, as you know, and leaning into that. So how about we do networking while we're doing a creative activity? So we did a flower crown workshop and we got the florist in, and we were about 8 or 9 ladies, and we all came in and we got our flowers, and then we opened the circle and everybody got to introduce themselves, but they were not allowed to say their names, not their names, their career, what they do for a living.
Yeah.
It was coming in as your authentic self and just tell us what you're passionate about, etc. And we made our flower crowns. We read poetry and we were doing girly things. I know it's not something for everybody, but we had so much fun. And then at the end, we had every woman sit in the middle of the circle and we did a love bath where we just praised them and celebrated them and said, you look how amazing you are. This is what I see in you and what I enjoyed about this day with you. And I think, as you said, it's so important, this sisterhood thing, to start celebrating each other so that we can celebrate authenticity. Because I don't know if you believe in this, but I believe if I show up as my unauthentic self, I attract the things that's not meant for me. And then what happens is I'm on this path where I'm attracting situations and attracting people into my life that I'm not supposed to have in my life. So that is my perspective.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely true. And you know what is awesome, Carmen? If you are in an environment where the men that you work for get this, I have got the world's most amazing boss, right? It does help that he's got a strong wife and two strong teenage girls, right? Very in touch. And you know what's amazing about that is that how he uses the feminine strengths in his team to bolster who he is. So he will often call me, because I'm quite intuitive, right? He will often call me into his office on a business problem that has got absolutely nothing to do with my area. But he wants to hear my perspective, maybe on the people that are running it or on the process and the impact that it has. And then he'll call in the CFO, who's also a female, and get her perspective on the commercials and our HR, you know. So it's amazing when the men in your life catch on to the fact that you are, you know, that's who you are. And he often, you know, when I walk in, because I believe you dress up, right? I don't go to a exec meeting on a Monday afternoon dressed casually, right? Because I need to show up as an authority. And he will notice when I've got a new blouse and he'll go, geez, Mel, you've got another colorful blouse, because that's what I do. And it's just amazing. And you know what was beautiful was recently in a performance review, and that's why I say you should never stop learning. You should never stop learning. And you've got people in your life. I mean, if you've built relationships that are authentic, right? Male, female, old, young, doesn't matter. He said to me, Mel, you know what you do? He says, you must watch out. There are certain people, when you are in a meeting with them and they say something that opposes what you are saying, you tend to be over respectful and you will say, okay, I hear your point. I will look into it. He says, when I clearly know that you do not agree, he said, and I think you need to go and do introspection. And it hit me hard because I knew who he was talking about. And then my mind went back to the deceiving one. And I realized that she had such an impact on me that that bit of bullying scar, because guys, that's a scar that never goes away. It softens, but it never goes away. That this specific individual reminded me of that. And that I was not showing up as my authentic self, because, and he said, Ma, you know what you're talking about. Push back. The other thing was, I realized that in the Afrikaans culture, we're taught to be very respectful with people that are above us, right? So that's why, and then in a subsequent meeting, I went in, the same thing happened, and I used my gladiator rules, and I pushed back gently, and I said, you know what, about what you said there, I don't agree with you, and here are the reasons that I don't agree with you, and I put them out, and I was, as I am now, speaking as I am now, and this person sat back, and she said, you know what, Mel, I didn't realize that I was doing that. You know, you're actually right. I'm being out of line here. And I mean, here I think I am a mentor. I teach people. And here I was taught something about myself. And it was, as you say, it was, even if you take that 1 millimeter step away from who you really are, that's when things happen that shouldn't happen. So yeah, it's important to be open and to learn in the process as well, because mistakes you'll make. I mean, there comes a time where the bitch in you wants to come out, right? Because my staff will tell me I do have a bitch face at times, and I've got a vein here on my forehead, and when I get really upset with you, this vein starts popping. So I've got other ways where I show my authentic self. Don't make any mistake. I can be super tough, guys. I'm not talking about singing Kumbaya. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that you can come into the room with the empathy. You know, I've said this to you, Carmen. I rule an iron fist in a velvet glove. And that's the way I do it, because I need to be consistent and I need to deliver results, right? I can't sit and have tea with you the whole day, although I do love my cup of tea.
But you know, being my authentic self, dropping things all the way down on the floor. What I wanted to
ask you also, you know, you were talking about a stage in your life where, you know, where or the bullying appeared in your life, and finding your authenticity was very, very hard. And it's almost like so many people, we go through ups and downs in our lives where we're going through trauma, we're going through an event that triggers emotional pain and so forth. And in that time, sometimes it's not easy to be authentic. You feel that you want to put up a mask until you've figured out what's going on inside before you present it to the world. Because you almost feel like you're sending schizophrenic pulses out of yourself. How would you advise us during those undefined times in our lives to cope with that?
Well, let me tell you this, guys. It was probably the most difficult time in my entire life. Because to your point, Carmen, you know, it is putting the mask on. Because you also need to know when to put the mask on. Not losing it, not crying, not, it is, and it's very difficult, especially for an empath like me, right? I'll tell you a couple of things got me through that. Number one, you must almost become obsessive about your health in that time. You almost need to become obsessive about exercising, about sleeping, about eating. Because I'll tell you, the buildup of cortisol and stress hormones in your body over that time is insane. And if you don't look at your body in that time, you will physically conk. You'll completely conk in, right? So I remember in that time almost becoming obsessed with exercising, to make sure that when I got home that, you know, I diligently followed, I went to see my trainer, et cetera, et cetera, because that's the one thing. So physically look after yourself. It was difficult for me to sleep in that time. It really was difficult for me because my mind would not shut up, right? And I was starting to wait for those 3 o'clock WhatsApps and those 3 o'clock in the morning mails. I would catch myself getting up to go to the loo, taking my cell phone with, checking what the mail said. I mean, it's insane. And to that end, I actually had to go to a medical doctor and get something to help me sleep, to be kind to yourself. The second thing is you need to pull in your entire support structure, whether it's at the workplace or in your circle of family or friends. You need to pull people in with you to remind you that you are not this person that they're making you out to be. Because there you can be your authentic self. There you can actually cry and bawl like a baby, right? And they will not judge you. So it was the personal relationships. And then the third thing, guys, is then you pull out that resilience, that tenacity, where you say, I shall not be pushed down. I shall not be bullied. You shall not change me. I am a gladiator. I'm a big Robin Banks fan. I don't know if you know Robin Banks, and he believes in all of these affirmations. And I would drive to work every morning and I would say this the whole time. I am a gladiator. I am a daughter of a king. I am strong. I am powerful. I am resilient. I am victorious because I am guided, I am directed, and I am protected. I said that every morning to myself in that car, that I will not take off the white hat. I will not go to your level and swear at you or about you. I will not heal, but you're not going to push me over. It ended in a legal battle, guys. It ended in false accusations and a legal inquiry. Let me tell you, that can easily push you. I could have easily gone, you know, I don't need this shit, eh? That's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. I did not. Because to be true to myself, I had to win this fight. And it wasn't at all costs, right? Because cost it did take. But I needed to also, you know, that stump on the nose to say, this is unacceptable. You do not treat people. Did she change? I don't know. I don't know if she changed. But certainly, I walked out with my head held high. And if I didn't look after myself and look after my circle and look after my sanity and admit the times when I was not strong, admit the times where I literally just stayed in my bed, crawled under my duvet and just cried for a day. And then when I was finished crying, I got up again, put my makeup, put my lipstick on and on I went. It's to pull the gladiator out of yourselves, guys. And to also understand when is your soul not for sale? I woke up one morning and I said, my soul is not for sale. And I knew, I was going to be without a job because I had a restraint of trade. And I took that dip financially. And it took me 8-9 months. And then, you know, it's COVID and it's, you know, children moving overseas and life still happens around you. But I had lots of Carmens in my life as well, right, that understood where I was. And as I say, my mom, my sisters, my daughter-in-law, and they were just amazing, just amazing.
But look at you now. Woo! So when we dropped the podcast, so we were talking about all the things that you're doing, but maybe we can quickly go because we've got a few more minutes. So you are now so happy. I remember you called me the other day and you were like, Carmen, I just finished my strat session at 8 o'clock at night and I'm so excited. And I've never, ever heard somebody come back from a meeting so late at night, so excited. So tell us all about your new journey and everything that has changed because you show up so authentically.
Yes. So guys, I mean, you can imagine me taking over a marketing team after the Tresemme scandal, right? I took over, it was COVID. I had to commute, right? I found this like decimated marketing team. And I was going through quite a serious divorce, right? Not the nicest time in my life. And I grew this team of people, right, from about 80 people to 220. And I've been so privileged to be allowed to bring, because they saw me at my previous position and they headhunted me for this position, which of course for me was like, you know, that ointment of Ina, it was just like, okay, I'm still cool. And I got the opportunity to identify the people that I wanted to report to me. I got the opportunity to build a team and build capability and capacity, which just, you know, it ticks every box for me because I am this analytical person. I've got a PhD in econometrics. If you put me on a spreadsheet, I don't sleep. That's why don't give me a spreadsheet. I will super analyze it for you. But then I've got this super creative side, and where I am now from a work perspective is I am allowed to just build both these sides. You know, I can go from anything from discussing a highly analytical AI model in one meeting, walking to another boardroom and talking about sexual wellness. How's that for a mind shift? Left, sure, right. And I've just been able to take this. And of course, working in beauty and in health, I mean, in wellness, it is so rewarding. But imagine working for a company where the head of that company is a woman, right? Bettina Engelbrecht is probably one of the most amazing females I've ever met, right? Working for a man that allows female leadership, having three of my five execs in my team are females, strong, beautiful, transformed, you know, and I didn't have to tick box BE. These were the best in the industry. So I've been allowed, Carmen, to live out this creativity, to bring the numbers into it whilst going through a divorce, whilst having my son and his wife and my babies move to the US, whilst all of that was going on, looking after my health. But I'll tell you, that's one thing I can say about Cape Town, guys. I've been a Gautenger for majority of my life, but I'll tell you one thing that Cape Town taught me, and that is you can be a super exec and you can be a hell of a nice person by just going out there, walking the promenade, meeting with friends at Constantia and having a cup of tea, and just living life. You know, I used to go to the office 6 o'clock in the morning. Now I leave my home at 8:45. I walk into my boardroom at 9. Yes, I work a bit later because I don't have a husband and I don't have kids at home. But I will tell you, the last 3 years, I've discovered so much about who I am. And you imagine, geez, you would have discovered it by then. But having this freedom after a lot that I went through has just allowed me to just be who I am today. And I'm a happy, fulfilled person. Looking forward to the next chapter in my life. Doing some odd things. My daughter said to me recently, oh, Ma, just don't start wearing a kaftan. I said, I like kaftans. I think they're looks I'm in Zen. You see, I do the Zen.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, no, as you know, I'm a numerology, so I am now almost close to my life path 9. So into my 9 stages. So now it's just dresses. Like most of the time when you see me, I'm just wearing dresses, and then I go out of it. But I love playing around with things like that.
There you go.
What I want to say is thank you so much for affording us the time and leadership and making us understand how important our authenticity is. I can really say that is truly who you are. I've never met you in any room. I've never had a conversation. And, you know, you're always so willing to give and to mentor, which makes you so special. So thank you so much. And when you start doing those educational courses and you're traveling around the world, let us know that we can collaborate and we can Absolutely. Or we can do some things with you here with Conscious Leaders.
I've already got my outfit planned for my first TED Talk, I'll tell you.
Ooh, we're going to have to organize that for
and
you.
And my colour lipstick, that red Mac.
I'm sure that we're all going to send you lipsticks. I remember I used to work for Jenna Clifford, right? And she always said to us, if you want people to take you seriously, put on your red pout. They will look at every word you say.
Thank you so much. And thank you for giving me this opportunity. I love speaking about this topic, and that is the next stage of my life. I want to make that difference, and I am going to write a book. I am. Well, I'll unpack all these archetypes and make sure that we don't breed more of those and breed more of us. How's that?
Oh, I love it. I can't wait.
Leaders.
Thank you so much, Mal. We're holding thumbs for you this evening.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
We love
guys.
You. We thank celebrate you, so much. You. And thank you to everybody for joining us. Sending you lots of love.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.